receive. As we delve into this concept and subject of salvation, this is through faith in Christ Jesus. Thank you for insight. Thank you for accuracy. Thank you for precision. Father, thank you because there's no error present in the explanation or in the reception. And Jesus Christ is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now see, 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17. This is so great salvation. Continue from where we stopped yesterday. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, verse 16, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now again, don't forget that the word doctrine there is explanation, okay, didaskalia, which is what is taught. So we can say that salvation is a teaching. Now we have the experience of salvation, okay, where a man is saved, right? Sozo, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, okay? That is the experience of salvation, where a man is saved and he has the experience, he receives the gospel and is saved. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? That is the experience of salvation which many people, you know, can relate with. But then there is the teaching of salvation. And what we are dealing with is the teaching of salvation that helps the experience of salvation or explains the experience of salvation. So the word here is doctrine, teaching, or what is taught. There's a synonymous word called didache, which is particular teaching, when it says that, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Didache, what is taught, like saying the subject matter, just like saying teaching biology or chemistry. So, it's what is taught, and the subject itself demands patience, or teaching generally, pardon me, demands patience. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. We looked at it yesterday. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be apt to teach. Okay? Remember that word, apt to teach? I think we went through it yesterday. Was it yesterday or this morning? Able to teach. Okay? Gentle to all, patient. He must be patient. So, teaching demands what? You have, because the way you understand itself is patience. And so the way you must explain, it must be patiently done. There are sometimes that people ask you questions and you don't answer them. Because giving the answers may confuse them. You know, Jesus, for example, had things he said, I have many things to say to you, I can't bear them now. Not I have many things to know, is to say. Yet he studied the way he taught. And you can do that. In fact, it shows that you are really apt to teach. So being apt to teach involves patience and gentleness. Now, look at that 2 Timothy 3:15 again. It's a very key text. From a child, you have known the scriptures, the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's 15. Now, this verse cannot be understood if you don't look at 14. Because it started from 14. It was from 14 he got to 15. What did he say in 14? He says, but continue in the things which you have learned. So, it's not like Timothy used to study the Bible a lot on his own. That's not what he's saying. In things you have learned, the word learned is from the word mathano, A-M-A-N. T-H-A-N-O. Mathano, 21 times. Is used for a disciple. That is, you have been discipled. Continue in the things that you have been discipled. 1 Timothy 2, 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. He had silence. 1 Timothy 5. Sorry, 11. I just read 11. Sorry, 2:11. Then, 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Titus 3:14. Titus 3:14. Let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. So when you see that terminology used, okay, that terminology is used for someone receiving instructions from a child. Okay? It says, you know of whom you learned. So the next thing, the word from a child is actually figurative because it's the brephos. Okay? B-R-E-P-H-O-S, used for baby or young child. I just went through that for you. Luke 1:41, baby. Luke 1:44, baby. Luke 2:12 and 16, baby. 1:41, 1:44, Luke 2:12 and 16. Luke 18:15, children. Acts 7:19, babes. 1 Peter 2:2. So it seemed to be that as much as we know that Timothy was a young man, that from his child is spiritual. Are you following what I'm saying? That from a child, he said, is spiritual. That is, from infanthood as a believer, you have learned the Holy Scriptures. He was mentored from spiritual infanthood. Because breath was there. It was used also by Peter, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow unto salvation. So, obviously, he's talking about how Timothy was mentored from spiritual, a spiritual baby stage to maturity. Are you following this? Notice what he said, from whom. So when it says, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, he knew the Holy Scriptures from being taught. You know, the same thing he told him, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, 7:22, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able, apt to teach again, right? Teach others. So it's important. Now there's something I said yesterday I was going to cross-check. Remember when we called death? I said death of Jesus, death of others. Let's check your note if you were around. Let me see whether I didn't make a mistake, so that I won't mislead you. When we look at the word thanatos, death, in the New Testament, I mentioned, if I just say two and it's correct, I'll go on. I mentioned Matthew 11 times, 4, the death of Jesus. Am I correct? Okay. I mentioned Mark 10 times 3, death of Jesus. I mentioned Luke 10 times 3, death of Jesus. Huh? Okay. John 12 times, 2 times death of Jesus. Okay, fine. That means the statistic I gave you were correct. So, obviously it's something you have to learn. Right? You have to learn that if you are interested in teaching the Bible, you must be interested in being taught. There is no competition in Bible teaching. Okay? There is no competition in Bible teaching. So, yesterday, If you are not around yesterday, we don't know where to start for you, but we're somewhere. So the first thing we said yesterday was in the death of Jesus, we said the law of Moses did not require the death of Jesus. Remember that? And we also said God did not require the death of Jesus. So it was not God who needed Jesus to die. Right? Now, look at this. I wrote this in my note. I think it will make sense to you. God's role in redemption must be in sync with his character. He can't be different. We cannot have a bipolar God who has two personalities. So his role in redemption must be in sync, in tandem with the character revealed to us of him. Now, sometimes the idea, just like we look at Isaiah's prophecy, when Isaiah said that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, we said Isaiah was wrong. The Lord did not bruise him. Right? Okay, we know we corrected Isaiah yesterday. The Lord did not bruise him. Because we now followed Jesus' statements about his death. You know, we read Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles, and nobody mentioned God. Clear enough. Okay. But you see, because of the nature of the prophets, they didn't have a full hub of light, and they always had eclipse in their thinking. They couldn't differentiate sometimes man, the devil, and God. So in their prophecies, it will come out like that. Are you still there? Are you there? Okay. Now, so God's role must be in sync with his character. If Jesus says in him is light and there's no darkness at all, then he must not be involved in death. Are you there? He can't be involved in death. So his role in redemption must be in tandem. It must be together. He can't change in redemption. There's a problem. And we must not read his role with the lenses of Moses. You know, Moses will have a lens when he's talking to folks, if a lens when he's talking to himself. We can't use the same lens. So, that said, look at Hebrews. So, we want to investigate his character in redemption. Our first place in redemption, you know, we've gone beyond investigating death. We did that yesterday. Right? Now, look at this. The first place, where is the first place we are going to look at his role in redemption? It will be Abel. Now, like I said, there is a thinking you must have when you are reading the Old Testament. You will take the two books. You will take Genesis and take the Epistles. Okay? So we're going to take both. Abel is the first person where an animal was offered. Listen to this very, very well. There's a salient truth there. So, we're going to hold Genesis 4 and read with the spirit of truth in the epistles. When his brother killed him, look at the statements made by God. What hast thou done? Verse 10. The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Now, let me ask, just without doing any Bible interpretation, is that literal? Eh? So it calls for caution. It calls for caution. If anywhere, Abel went to Sheol. So, what do you mean by the voice? Now, Follow this. The word voice is called in the Hebrew Q-O-L. And the word ground is the same Hebrew word for Adam. Adama. Qual is taken from sack, T-S-A-A-Q, which is to appeal. To appeal. To ask for. Okay? From the ground. So we have two ways to see it. From the earth or from mankind. Do you understand? Are you following what I'm saying? It's Adama. Adama is earth, earthy. So the voice of the brother's blood cries from Adama. Appeals. Could it be that the voice of his blood was saying, kill Cain for me? No. No, that can't be it. So, hold that interpretation, hold on. We'll go to Hebrews 11. Verse 4. By faith. You know, you will never have seen faith in Hebrews 4. I mean, Genesis 4. By faith. Again, faith is what? The substance of things not seen. So you will not see reality on the scene. Are you following what I'm saying? Reality happened about 6,000 years after. So what we are going to see will be figurative things. So faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in Abel, offering unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Pay attention here. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaks. So what did God testify of? Death or life? Look at it again. Him being dead, yet speaks. Death or life? So the first place. So the gift of Abel, was it dead or alive? Yeah. I told you to be very careful. The gift of Abel, dead or alive? He being dead, yet speaks. Dead or alive? Praise God. Are you following this? Let me say it again. His gift speaking. Dead or alive? Huh? Yeah, sure. What he offered God was dead or alive? I'm asking a question now. He said he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He being dead, yet what? Who died? Who spoke? So, who was dead? Who was alive? Abel was alive. Who was alive? Why is he taking it so long? What did he offer to God? You know, let's say we look at gifts and sacrifices. Remember? So, the sacrifice Abel gave to God was dead or alive? The same statement, because it's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. If you expect to see it with the animal, then you are acting like a spiritually dead person. Are Are you following? You know, God expressly told us, said, sacrifices and burnt offering, I don't have pleasure in it. Hallelujah. Okay, so look at Hebrews 12. Lord have mercy. Hebrews 12, 24. That word speaks. Okay? Now, testify is material. Material is to say, right? To give evidence of. Come on. To give evidence of. Was it animal speaking? Huh? So, what was not seen on that seat? Huh? Huh? What was it seen? Faith. Faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Okay? Are you following that? So, what gives substance to him is the person of Jesus. Alright? Okay. Look at Hebrews 12, 24. Again, in study, when you see a name, Abel was mentioned two times in Hebrews. It makes sense. You will have been confused until you read the second instance. The second instance just clears it for you. Now, he now says, we have come to Zion. He now begins to describe, and he says, he went on and on. Then in 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. That word blood of sprinkling is from the Greek word rantismos. R-H-A-N-T-I-S-M-O-S. Peter used it twice. After Peter, the only person that used it was the writer of Hebrews. Because, no, he used, the author of Hebrews used the verb. Don't let me make a mistake. Look at 1 Peter 1:12, 1:2. Elect according to the, please turn there, to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you know a noun from what? The verb. Okay? Come on, are you there? So, the writer of Hebrews uses the verb. Rantizo. R-H-A-N-T-I-Z-O. Hebrews 9:13. Hebrews 9:13. You know why I went to 1 Peter 1? Because he was talking about Jesus. And the other person who spoke about the blood of sprinkling talking to Jesus was Peter. Because the blood of sprinkling was used under the Old Testament. But this reference was in synonym with what Peter said. So look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ash of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Because the word rantizo means to cleanse. 19. And Moses had spoken every preacher to all the people according to the law. He took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. 21. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood with blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. You must pay attention to this. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So he used the word cleanse. So go back to Hebrews 12. So we can say the blood of cleansing. The blood of what? Cleansing. It's used to mean that whatever it touches is made new. The blood of cleansing. Okay? That speaks better things than of Abel. Let's look at the word better things. You know, better things was also used many times in the book of Hebrews. Right? He expects you to be accustomed with that word. Because in Joshua chapter 12, I was saying in the second service today, that why is something in chapter 12? He didn't expect you to start reading a book from chapter 12. You should have started from chapter 1. So, better things in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 1:4. A more, Hebrews 1:4. Being made so much better than the angels. Now, why did he use angels? Because much later, it lets you see angels were involved in the giving of the law. So he used angels better. Then he used Hebrews 7:7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. Hebrews 7:19. For the Lord made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better hope. Hebrews 8:6. He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. Hebrews 9:23. It is therefore necessary that the things in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. Hebrews 10:34. You have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Note the word enduring. Hebrews 11:16. They desire a better that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. So, we are moving now to heavenly materiality. Okay? Hebrews 11:35. A better resurrection. So, obviously the resurrection here is spiritual. Hebrews 11:40. Something better for us. So, when you get in the holy name of God, pay attention. When you get the word better in the book of Hebrews, he expects you to have been following that term. So, better will be that which stays, that which lasts. In other words, better will be a completion. That is, something started from here, it is perfected here. Do you understand? Better will be the end of another thing. Because he says, this was started, this was concluded. And for lack of grammar, it uses better like they are comparing. No. It's not comparison. It's distance. Start to the end. This started, this ended. The priesthood. This priesthood, that priesthood. This priesthood ends that priesthood. Do you understand? The ministry of Jesus ends that of the angels. Just like Moses, just like Aaron, just like the promises, it ends it. Do you understand? That is the use of the word better. Other people used it. I'll just mention them. 1 Peter 3:17, 2 Peter 2:21, and 1 Corinthians 7:9. 1 Peter 7:9 is funny. It's better to marry than to burn. But we are restricting it to the... Something's happening that we said that today. That's an utterance. Now, so it's better. Better will be from one end to the other. You see why. Better than of Abel. Is it making comparisons? No. Notice the word that is italicized. So it's not making Abel's There's even no Abel's blood. That of Abel, you will trace it to Hebrews 11:4. Don't go to Genesis 4. Okay? Don't go to Genesis 4. Because he expects that you should read Abel from Hebrews 11:4. And that's what we're going to do. Now, the word better is from the Greek word kreton. Is okay, there are three words put together. There's the word kreton, K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N, or K-R-E-I-S-S-O-N. Pay attention. The explanatory term is kratistos, K-R-A-T-I-S-T-O-S, K-R-A-T-I-S-T-O-S. I'm trying better. Better is used to distinguish, but to give us a problem because it doesn't look, it doesn't look fine. When you say distinguish, is it distinguishing Abel from Jesus? He can't do that because Abel's faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Abel's hope and expectation was Christ. So, in using better, pay attention, Kreton is taken from katistos, which is to distinguish, but it's more explained because there's a word there, which is kratos. Kratos is K-R-A-T-O-S, which deals with achieving a desired end. Achieving a desired end. That is, you are going to a desired end. Better things than of. That is, this one is going here. The angels, when he was going to retire the angels, said, are they not ministering spirits to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? When he was going to retire Moses, said Moses spoke of another person. So, in using better, he's saying this one is pointing to there. Aaron points to Jesus. So, in using better, just like I was explaining earlier, it comes from one end to another. Quick look at that word, kratos. Luke 1:3. Luke's Gospel 1:3. Most excellent, O Theophilus. That's Christos now. Acts 23:26. Acts 24:3. I'll say it. Luke 1:3. Acts 23:26. Luke 24:3. And Acts 26:25. So, the blood of cleansing, which speaks better things. Better things, that is reaching, pay attention to this, is reaching an expected end from, that's the word than. The word than is actually from, para, P-A-R-A. From is a preposition. From that of Abel. So, from Abel, we see they were reaching for an expected end. You know, Hebrews 11 already says that God has been provided something better. So, you know, Hebrews 11 started with who? With who? With who? Abel. So he's saying in the blood of Jesus, is the better that started from Abel. So, Abel's blood is Jesus' blood. Do you get it? I'll take it one more time. Jesus' blood is the better of Abel's blood. Okay? Pay attention here. Abel's blood is not the animal. Abel's blood is faith. It was not seen. Things not seen. Jesus' blood is sin. So, the better of what was not sin is the blood of Jesus that is sin. Do you understand? Do you understand? I'll take it again. It's not a comparison. It is to measure a distance of this is how it started, this is where it ended. Abel's blood and every other person. You know, Abel became the beginning of that faith, of that faith description by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of Jesus. So Abel's faith was in what was not seen. Jesus' blood is seen. So which is better? The blood of Jesus. That is, the blood of Jesus in Abel's faith was not seen. But it is now better. Do you understand? So from that of Abel. So you can look at Hebrews 12, 24. And Hebrews 11, 39 and, 30, and verse 40, and you can say the same thing. They died without receiving the promises. For they, without us, were not made what? Perfect. What does it mean? They sought for a city whose builder and maker is God. They didn't see it. But it was in their faith. Right? So, the blood of Jesus is in the faith of Abel as an expectation. So, from Abel's blood to Jesus' blood. Can you see it now? Is it clear? It has to be. So, he spoke. From Abel to Jesus, it is his blood. That is, the blood of Jesus, welcome to that blood now. The blood of Jesus justified Abel. But it was not seen. It was in an expectation. The blood of a shadow couldn't justify anybody. Do you understand? You know, remember we looked at Abraham. Was it yesterday? Was it yesterday or this morning? Abraham and Isaac. Was yesterday. Was it this morning? Eh? That was clear now. So, what did Abel offer? What did Abel offer? Anima. What did Abraham offer? Eh? After yesterday. Eh? Okay, Abraham offered himself. So, his faith was in Christ. That is why Hebrews 11 says, is the author and finisher. So, he's the author, okay? He's the predominant subject of faith. Not an animal. Not the blood of an animal. You can't use more excellent sacrifice for an animal. More excellent sacrifice will be who? Jesus. Right? Is that clear? You can't use more excellent sacrifice for an animal now. Did you see more excellent use for any other thing? But the new covenant in Christ. In the book of Hebrews. Exactly. And it says he offered a more excellent sacrifice. So how can he offer an animal? And more excellent was never used for a shadow. Are you following? So in his faith. Which was not seen in Genesis 4. That's why you get lost. Hallelujah. Okay. So. Let me know whether we can leave Abel alone. Can we? Talk now. Can we leave Abel alone? Or I should go over it again? I can't. The second person will be Noah. I would have gone into Enoch, but it was not seen. But you know the beauty about Enoch was that he did not see death. Amen. It's funny to say he had a testimony that he did not see death, but they all died. So the testimony was actually faith. People always thought that Enoch did not die. No, they all died. The only person that never died or that rose from the dead was Jesus, the first anyway. Faith. It is faith that you are looking at. Not like making they say they have no father or mother. It's because that's the record you have of him. That is, you don't know where Enoch, you can't phantom where how he disappeared, but he died. Amen. Let me say it again. Enoch died. Moses died. Elijah died. It's language that is the issue. He had the testimony that he did not see death. And that's faith. So it's in his faith that he didn't see death. Are you following? So that's why I skipped him, because he didn't see death. Don't mind you. Noah's ark was also faith of things not seen. Scripture says he was moved with fear. Kilo Belomai, E-U-L-O-B-E-L-O-M-A-I. It's taken from reverence. Careful reverence. Kilo Belomai. You'll find it in Hebrews 12:28. To be careful. So watch this. Hebrews 11:17, 7. Warned of God of things not seen yet. Warned of God of things not seen yet. Moved with fear, that is careful reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He prepared an ark. And he condemned the world. Now, when he says he condemned the world, is the word katakrino. It means to judge worthy of punishment. To judge worthy of punishment. What condemned the world? His preaching or his faith? Did he preach to condemn or his faith? How did he condemn the world? Look at it now. By the which? By how did he condemn the world? By what now? Huh? By what? By what? Did he preach condemnation of the world, or his faith condemned the world? How? Why? Because they were called disobedient. So his faith condemned the world, because he believed. Look at 1 Peter 3. Let's see what the ark meant. You know, we said that Abel's, pay attention now, Abel's offering was Christ. Okay? 1 Peter 3, let's see what the ark meant. 1 Peter 3, 20. We sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God, 1 Peter 3, 20, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing. So, as he was preparing the ark, and he was telling folks about the salvation that the ark will provide, that was condemnation. Because they did not believe. They were called disobedient. Wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Okay? Let's take 21 together. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. By what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, what was Noah's ark? Resurrection or death of Jesus? Are you getting what I'm saying? What was Noah's ark? Abi? What was Abel's offering? Don't say resurrection, just say the blood of Jesus. We'll come to that. Remember, just put something in your mind. Remember the crux of Paul's teaching. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then you are yet in your sins, and your faith is in vain. If he be not raised from the dead. Notice that statement, because it's going to come in handy. So Noah's ark is the life of who? The life of Jesus. Pay attention. Abel's faith is who? In the blood of Jesus. Let me quickly talk about this one. Enoch's faith will be what? Not see death. That can't be the death of Jesus. That has to be his resurrection. Are you following? Okay. Abraham's faith, we saw that yesterday, Hebrews 11. Abraham's faith, Hebrews 11. Offered up his only begotten son. What was that? Death or resurrection? Huh? What was the explanation to Abraham for? The death or the resurrection? Huh? What was God to do there? The death or the resurrection? So, let me say it again. What was God to do there? The death or the resurrection? So Abraham's faith will be in the death or the resurrection. Are we on the same page? Okay. So the focus of the faith of the patriarchs, was it in death or resurrection? Is Abel's own clear to you? Huh? Okay. What Abraham put in store was, is able to raise him from the dead. Now, so I just took you to Genesis to see that what was in their faith, okay, what was in their faith was the offering of Jesus alive. The offering of Jesus alive. Let me tickle your fancy a bit. The Passover was for who not to do evil? God or the devil? Was it Passover for God? Just to stir up your mind. Was it Passover for God? When they sacrifice the animal, it's for who? Huh? It's for who? It's for who? Is it for God? Because if it's for God, that means he is the destroyer. Amen? So put that at the back of your mind and let's come back. Let's look at Jesus' statements. That you will be at sea if you are not around yesterday. John 14. Let's look at Jesus' statements about his walk. John 14, to in my father's house there are many mansions. If you are not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you be also. So he's saying, I'm going somewhere. Now, this statement, when it says, I go, he was referring to go to the Father. Right? Are you there? Now, going to the Father, is it his death or his resurrection? So, in his death, he was not offered to the Father. He didn't go to the Father in his death. It's not the Father that needed his death. So, let's look at his statements. Matthew 16:21. And from time forth, at that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. You know, we read that yesterday. Of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. And be killed. And be raised again the third day. Mark 8:31, same thing. Luke 9:22. So he's raised. He's raised the third day. So go to John 14. For whither I go, verse 4, you know, and the way you know. Okay? So he says, where I go, you know. And he said, where are you going to? I'm going to the Father. That statement was not for his death. Hallelujah. John 17:5. Pay attention to this. Glorify me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Glorify me with your own self. That word is doxa. Doxa is used for your own wealth, your power, your majesty. Do you know that whenever you talk about, in redemption, in the work of Christ, whenever the glory of God is mentioned, it's in his resurrection. It's in his resurrection. Now, that glorify me, simple ABC Bible, means what? Resurrection. So, the Father's role in the death of Jesus yesterday, who instructed him to give his life? The Father. Who raised him from the dead? Good. So, to glorify me, with your own self. Is he talking about death here or resurrection? Good. Why? Verse 2. Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, as thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give what? There is no death in his power. To as many as you have given him. And this, let's take verse 3 together. And this is life eternal. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Hallelujah. So, what is in the glory of God? Death or life? Thank you. So in John 16:12, he will glorify me. Was that in his death or his resurrection? Good. So, John 20:17, I am not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. So, his death was not an offering for the Father. Is that clear? His death was not an offering for the Father. It's in his resurrection that he goes to the Father. Let me rewind what I said earlier. In the work of redemption, no redemption, is it for everything? Just a loose word. We must see God. God must be, his character must be in sync with who he is. Are you there? Do you understand? And yesterday we investigated death as an enemy. And who had the power of death? The devil. Very good. Look at the book of Acts. So we want to see, what role did God play? The Father. What role did the Father play? Acts 2:24. You know, the ones we read yesterday was how Jesus was crucified. Remember that? Huh? I left out some every time I read it for today. So, verse 20, we had read 23 yesterday. He was by wicked hands crucified and slain. That's not God though. Isaiah said the Lord bruised him, because Isaiah mixed everything together. Jesus never said the Lord bruised him. Right? Do you understand? Good. 24. Whom God has what? Raised up. 31. He seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. What? David prophesied that he will not abandon my soul there. That is the resurrection of Christ. And exalted, having received of the Father from the Holy Ghost. So Acts 2:33 says, he by the right hand of God exalted. 32. This Jesus had God raised up. So it was clear. He was crucified by the wicked hands. Wicked, evil. Where do you find the root of that? That is in the, he that has the power of death, that is the devil. He was raised by who? Now, if God is the one who offered him dead, okay, and raised him up, then Isaiah was right. I'm he that killeth and maketh alive. Isaiah was wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. 36. Let all the house of Israel know surely that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. 3:14. We read everything. Oh, but you deny the Holy One and the just, and desire a murderer to be granted unto you. 3:15. And kill the Prince of Life. So he's the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. Is that consistent? 3:26. Oh, I love this. Let's read it together. Unto you first, God, having raised up Jesus, his Son, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. So where did God act in the resurrection? He doesn't use death. Are you there? He sent him to bless you in his death or his resurrection. Okay. Be it known unto you, to all Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead. From the dead. 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. There's a key text you must see. Was the death of Jesus prophesied? Yes. It was in prophecy. But death in prophecy unveils the work of the he that had the power of death. He's not unveiling the character of God. Are you there? So watch this. Acts 10:40. Hope I'm not too fast. Okay, Acts 10:40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. You know, it's coming out to say, well, that was Peter and all that. Look at Paul, Acts 13. Paul was explicit, Acts 13. Paul said, in the prophecy of the prophets, which are read, verse 27, every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Who are those who fulfilled it? The wicked rulers. The prince of this world. So their deeds were foresaid. Okay? Now, watch this. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they, Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled, now, who fulfilled? They fulfilled all that was written of him. They took him down from the street and laid him. That's all they can do now. They can't go beyond death. Hallelujah. They can't go beyond death. But there's someone who can go beyond death. Hallelujah. He supersedes death. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you following this? God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, we are his witnesses unto the day. And we declare unto you glad tidings. How the promise that was made to the fathers. Was God's promise his death or his resurrection? Exactly. Epangelia is what I will do. Prophecy is what will happen. In the prophecy we saw what men will do under the power of darkness. And we saw what God will do. Are you there? So, God fulfilled the same unto us their children. How? Huh? So, God's part in the prophecy was what? The death of Jesus or his resurrection? He was involved in both. I rushed you. He was not involved in his death as a major actor. He was involved in the giving. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't forget, we saw that yesterday. I rushed you. So, Psalm 2 is fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. In the prophecy of Jesus' redemptive sacrifice, his resurrection, let me ask you, is it only God that is an actor there? Huh? No. Satan is involved. Men are involved. And God is involved. So don't duplicate roles. God is involved only. That is action. Will be seen in two places. All his actions are in light and life. He has no actions in darkness. Light and life. We'll see it. Romans 1, 2 to 4. Let me ask you. If Christ's offering was for himself, it's no sacrifice now. Hallelujah. For himself. What he did for himself. That's no sacrifice. Look at it. Romans 1. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated from the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son. Look at his promise. Concerning his son, Jesus our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power, according to what? By what? The resurrection from the dead. So, where is the promise of God in the gospel? Resurrection. So, what role did he play? It's not difficult. Romans 5:8. God commended his love towards us. In that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Agape. To give on behalf of another. So, the role of God in Christ's death is love. Not the receiver of the sacrifice. Does it make sense? The role is, quick, let me just mention this very briefly. No, yesterday I mentioned it. That the word redemption is ransom, apolotrosis, from Lutron, is used for a slave owner. And God is not one. Was it God that held man in captivity? So it can't be the one that needs the ransom. Ransom is used for the kidnapper. You now like Yoruba say, the person that knows you is the one that is doing you, is the one that is helping you. He held us in captivity. He's asking for offering. He provides the offering. Sovereign God. No. There's no darkness in him at all. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Okay, let's move further. So, God's love is in redemption. God demonstrated his love. Okay? That word there, Romans 5:8, God commended his love, is the word sunistemi, S-U-N-I-S-T-M-I. S-U-N-I-S-T-M-I. Is from sunistano. Christ died. How? Christ died for Hupa. Remember Hupa yesterday? Hupa is on behalf of, to take your place. So Christ took our place in the death. So what he did was agape. The love of God. But isn't God the judge? Just wait, we'll get to that. I said we'll study just step by step. Okay? Romans 5. Look, before you get to Romans 5, you know there's a prior statement. Injustice. If someone stands on behalf of another. Pay attention to this. Which is what Jesus did. You know, we said that the law didn't permit human sacrifice. But Moses, the lawgiver, he had already preached substitution. Are you following? Aha. Look at this. Romans 5, verse 6. For we are yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hupa died for, is a key word there. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, okay? For a good man, some will even dare to die. That is, look, righteous man, but even for a good man, some will still try to die. But God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word is amatolos. H-A-R-M-A-T-O-L-O-S. It's someone who deserves punishment or is punished for wrongdoing, for sin. Verse 5 to 6. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So it explains the love of God to us. He died for us. 4:15. Pay attention. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, free gift, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. The gift. 17. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. 19. Let's take 19 together. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered and the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Look at 21. As sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto what? Unto what? Eternal life. By Jesus Christ our Lord. So what is the gift?
What's the gift? What is the gift?
Eternal life is a gift. Is death is a ransom? Is resurrection is the gift? Is life? Eternal life. So Romans 6:4. Wherefore we are buried with him by passing unto death, as like Christ was raised up from the dead. By what? By what? By what? Does he mention the glory of the Father in his death?
No.
Even so we should walk in newness of life. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died. Okay? He died unto what? Oh, come on. You get it now. He died unto... What was the redemption? His death. He died unto sin. Now, in that... Alive unto who? Are we unveiling the characters? The death was not for God. The death was for sin. And you know, yesterday we traced God and said, God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempt he any man. So sin is not God's twin brother. Are you following this? So his death was for what? So the ransom was for sin. His life is unto God. So it's not possible for Abel to be offering dead things to God. That's not faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is in his resurrection. Why? Abel, as he was speaking, was already dead. Not when his brother killed him. So his faith has to be in resurrection. Are you listening? Let's follow. So, that's why Jesus is called, what is God's role? Romans 8:29. Who did it for? He predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he will be the first begotten among many brethren. First begotten among many brethren. So, Romans 8:32. So let's see. We're going to see love now. So, God's role, the Father's role in the death of Jesus was to satisfy his justice or to demonstrate his love. Clear? There's justice in it, though. The justice part we're going to see. Okay? So watch this. Romans 8:32. Are you learning something? He who spared not his own son. Somebody was using this for beating children. He who spared not his own son. If God did not spare you, how will he spare you? He who spared not his own son. But what did he do? Huh? That word is a negative word. He spared not. It's the Greek word phaidomai, phaidomai. Spared not. To spare. Just going to look at that word. It's better, by the way. To spare not. Acts 20:29. Not sparing the flock. So, anyone who uses this word for it does not send. It's used for, is as it were, used for a negative thing. Okay? Romans 11:21. Spared not the branches, lest it should also spare thee. 1 Corinthians 7:28, Paul says, I spare you. It means not to live. Not to live. To touch. So if you spare not, that means you will touch the person. I spare you. That is, I won't touch you. 2 Corinthians 1:23. That is, where is you spare not, something you are not touching. Something you are not getting involved. 23. That, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. 12:6. 2 Corinthians 12:6. Spare not. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me. Okay, I think that's not. No. 2 Corinthians 13:2. If I come again, I will not spare. That is, I will not avoid talking about it. Okay? I will get involved in the matter. Do you understand? So, spare not means I will get involved. If I spare, I am not involved. If I spare not, I am involved. Okay? So, 2 Peter 2:4. Spare not the angels that sin. Spared not the whole world. He got involved. That's what he's saying. So, look at this very well. God, let's say, he who spared not his own son. Let's use it properly. He who got his own son involved. How did he get his own son involved? Now, he gave him up. That's the deliver. That word is used for betrayal. To hand over to the enemy. You don't deliver to yourself. You deliver up for a negative thing. Are you following? Is the word paradidomi. P-A-R-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. To hand him over. Actually, let's use it properly. He who got his son involved. How did he get his son involved? He handed him over. Hallelujah. You can't hand over to yourself. He handed him over. Used for betrayal. Matthew 5:25. Shall he not, that was of betrayal 23 times, shall he not with him freely give us death or resurrection? Give us of all things. So, he that spared not his son will be what? Agape. Sacrifice. It's not difficult to see it. Shall he not with him freely give us of all? So follow the thought pattern. Romans 8. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. So, justification. Who is it that condemns? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? So, intercession, is this the death or is life? Huh? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness. That is, he's saying, look, if he loved us this much, why were we yet sinners though? For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. For thy sake we are killed. Nay, in all these things, hallelujah, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is, we became the victors from what he did. Hallelujah. We became huper from what he did. That is no victory, but his own was. Hallelujah. Because it was love. Look at this. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Hallelujah. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. He's talking about what happened to Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, what he was teaching was what? The love of God. So, who handed him over? Huh? Did he hand him over to himself? To the power of darkness. You know, whether yesterday, Luke 22 53, now is the time for the power of darkness. He said, you can't have power over me except it be given to you. So he was handed over. Hallelujah. That word is used for betrayal. Amen. So, what the Father does, or what he has done, is life. Life is love. Life is sacrifice. Life is resurrection. Amen. Do you understand? Praise God. So, what's God's role again? Ephesians 1, 20, 21. He raised him from the dead. Ephesians 2, 5 to 6. He raised him from the dead. So, let's look at the blood of Jesus. If you were sleeping before, it's time to wake up. I beg of you. Again, we cannot learn from the law. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the law will always teach from dead things. It's called the law of the spirit of life. Sorry. The law of sin and death. Sorry for that. Alright. So, let's view a few things. If we say God did not require sacrifice. What about the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus? Just wait. Now, let's look at where, you know, we sorted out yesterday about who takes sacrifice under the law. And we found that the sacrifice under the law were the blood of animals, which can never take away sin. Okay? Now, follow this. Leviticus 17:11. You cannot learn. You see, what we have done is that we've carried over the thinking of the law. I remember somebody listening to a teaching I had, and he said, how can you say that Jesus did not carry blood into heaven? And, you know, at that point, I kept stopping at that point that he offered himself. Hallelujah. He offered himself. Are you there? Now let's stretch that further. What did he offer? It's clear he didn't offer death. Amen? Okay, see. For the life of the flesh is where? Is where? Do you agree with that? Is the life of a man in his blood? This was Moses giving a reason why they are using blood. The life of man is not in the blood. Man is a spiritual being. So blood was used to represent life. But blood is not life. Are you there? Okay. Romans 5. Okay, let's see it. It makes sense now. Watch this. For life of all flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for what? For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So Moses has admitted that the life of a man is the soul. So he uses the blood as what? As what? As an analogy. But the life of a man, nephesh, is not the blood. That's clear enough. In fact, if you step further, a man by the name of Helius said there is a spirit in man. Does a man exist outside blood? Yes. Is the life of a man in the blood? I'm asking. Hey. So Moses was talking about a figure of speech. Blood is figure of speech. Blood is a figurative expression of the soul of man. So if you want to offer the blood of a man, you have not offered the man. If you are going to offer the man, you will offer his soul. Does it make sense to you? So if you want to know where Jesus shed his blood, just wait now. Hallelujah. Okay. Romans 5:9. Nobody assumed that he went into heaven and he carried a bowl. Did he vomit his there? This is my blood. That means he didn't even use everything. Romans 4:5-9. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. But God commended his love towards us. Verse 8. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we're enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we are being saved by what? Huh? So his blood there spoke of what? Huh? His life. When his blood, pay attention to this. When his blood came out, pay attention now. When his blood came out in the circumcision, part of his life came out. Right? I'm asking now. Part of his life just came out. No. Hallelujah. Not so. So look at, we want to investigate the blood. That blood. Hallelujah. So we are saved by his life. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says we are justified by the Spirit of God. We are justified by the Spirit of God. Hebrews 13:12. Moses died for us. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffer without the gate. With his own blood, suffer without the gate. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. You know, it cleanses us, you know, from all sin. We can't be using figure of speech again in the new covenant. That would be trouble. That means we need a newer covenant. Because to be cleansed by the blood, that means the blood has to be in your heart. You and I know it's not so. Are you following this? The blood cleanses me. How many of you have seen the blood of Jesus before? How many of you have the blood just flowing through you? I know there's this song. I'm no longer. It's not saying that the blood is flowing through me. Oh, through me. It's good. It's good. Very good. John 6. Okay, 1 John 4 again. That one, we'll see it tomorrow. 1 John 4 is one. 1 John 4. It's not a problem scripture, but it appears like so. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means to satisfy anger. It can't be God that is angry. Hallelujah. Huh? Is it God that is angry? 1 John 2:2. Who is the propitiation for our sins? Not just our sins of the whole world. Who is the one that is angry? Huh? I'm asking. Oh! Okay, I can see blood. I see the blood! Hallelujah. Praise God. So, who needed the blood of the Passover? Who is the blood in Exodus number 13? God or the destroyer? You are still trying to phantom. Who needed blood? Who passed over? Who is the destroyer? Yahshua. Sure? So, hallelujah. So it's not God. You agree, it's not God. God didn't need blood in Exodus number, but he needed it in Christ. That's worse. That one is animal. This one is human being. Let's go further. I beg. John 6. We beat these people up, but we are found in the same problem. John 6. I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. John 6:53. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I'll raise him up the last day. So what is in his blood? Hey! Hey! What's in his blood, oh? What's in his blood? What's in his blood? Is it HBO? What's that? What's his blood, please? I've forgotten his blood component. Platelets or what do you call it? Is that what is in his blood? What's in his blood? What's in his blood? Okay. Jesus, okay. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my drink is meat. Drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the Father has sent me, I live by the Father. And he that hits me, even is a live by me. This is that bread that comes from heaven. Not as your fathers eat meat and were dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. Now he's talking about his blood. Now says bread. He has used blood, flesh, bread. But what is consistent is what? What is consistency? Life. What is this? He said, if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit. It is what? That gives life. So, where is still your head? Your head is still in blood, red. What's he talking about? His Spirit? So, what was the blood he was talking about? He says, the words I speak to you are what? What I'm talking about is what? And what? How do you get eternal life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following what I say here? Amen. Praise God. Let's move further a bit. Amen. Are you following? Where is life? Where? Blood. Blood. Where? Okay. Let's move further. Let's look at this one quickly. Matthew 6:28. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Shed for the remission of sins of many. We'll deal with that one remission very well tomorrow. remission of sins of many. Romans 3:24-25 talks about faith in his blood. Alright? Faith in his blood. So, let's start from Moses. Moses in his darkness, the life of all flesh is where? In the blood. Right? So, the blood to Moses will represent what? The soul. Right? The soul of a man. You know, soul is not spirit, soul, and body. We have explained that to you. The soul of a man. The life of a man. Okay? Are you there? The life of a man. So, Jesus describes his own life as what? Is still blood? What is his own life? Eternal blood. What is his own life? Eh. So, when he says, drink my blood, eat my flesh, he's talking about his you're looking for a bloody God. Who just looks at blood? He likes blood. What are you like blood? Eh? Something. Dracula. When he sees the blood, he will pass over. Hallelujah. Okay? Look at, you know, nephesh. When Moses said, the life of all flesh is in the blood. You know that word, nephesh is spiritual life. What you don't see. So that means Moses is saying that the physical blood represents the life of man. But we are past that level. Amen. Eliud said there's a spirit in man. Glory to God. So when it says drink, do you know that Jesus had used that word drink 2 times? And he was talking about the spirit. Drink my blood. He told the woman, ask me and I'll give you to drink. He that drinks of this water shall never thirst. And he was talking about the spirit. He that says, let him come and drink. He was talking about the spirit that will be given to all that believe. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Or he says, drink my blood. So we have an experience of the blood of Jesus. The life of Jesus. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Son. Amen. So blood becomes a parable. Life is a reality. Blood is analogy. The Spirit is a reality. Is it okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life where? In Christ. Romans 8:9. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, none of his. Romans 8:14. What did we receive? The Spirit of God. 15. The Spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. Those are clear things. Galatians 4:4. So is the Spirit of Jesus his life? Eh? His spirit is his life, not the blood. Is the blood his life or his spirit? So you got eternal blood or eternal life? Eternal blood. I have eternal blood. Hallelujah. The life of the flesh, alright? Nephesh. So blood becomes a parable, okay? Let's follow this. Amen. Are you there? Look at Acts 20:28. Amen. So you see that there was blood referred to for purchase. There was blood referred to as what we received. Are they the same? One came by death, one by resurrection. That's simple. You didn't know that before. We have been saying it now. The blood in his death is not what we received. Amen? Do you understand? In his resurrection is the life. That's straightforward.
Look at Acts 20:28. Take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. That word purchase means to acquire, reserve, acquire something that is reserved for you. To acquire what belongs to you, what was reserved for you. Luke 17:33. 1 Timothy 3:13. Watch this. What you didn't have before, to take possession of it. Okay? We'll come to this. Quickly go to a text of scripture. I think Ephesians 5. Verse 21. No, not 21. 21 to 35, but I'll take 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice that he gave himself for it. That word gave himself is the same word, paradidomi, to give up. So he betrayed himself, he handed over himself to a negative circumstance or an enemy for the church. That he might. So he gave himself. It means to hand yourself over. For is what? In their place. So he took our place in the bondage of sin and death. That he might. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So the sanctification is not the giving. The sanctification happened after. Which you will see, he's talking about his life. The washing of water by the word. Observe that the word redemption is used for slaves and bondage. God is not the slave owner. So if he's not the slave owner, he's not the one that wanted redemption. Redemption is to pay a price. He didn't pay a price to God. Is the kidnapper that demands the ransom. And God is not one. We will examine this. Because it's everything we are saying now is in the wisdom of God. That's why he says, if the prince of, had they known it? Had they known what was going on? They would not have crucified him. Because he was paying the price for our deliverance forever. Hallelujah. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Watch this. So what did Paul call it? Paul called it wisdom. Insight. It's an insight that Satan doesn't have. It's an insight. Had they known it, they would not have crucified. We'll come to that. So he calls it, notice he calls Christ crucified foolishness, but that's the wisdom of God. Crucified by men. How can you be crucified by men paying the price to men or of men and then it is for their deliverance? That's the wisdom of God. So we look at that wisdom. We're going to is that wisdom we want to go to? We know we can find out that wisdom. Hallelujah. Because we have the mind of Christ. We can. Amen. Okay, this one is tomorrow. Let's quickly see something. So Hebrews 10. by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, this offering of the body of Jesus, is it his resurrection or his life? You are going back again. Look at it. Are we sanctified by his life or his death? Every priest stands daily, ministers, and offers at some time that cannot take away sins. The priesthood of Jesus is what is being described here. Was his priesthood in his death or his resurrection? Simple now. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Amen. Woo! So that offering is life. Henceforth, expect his enemies to make his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. Hallelujah. His death or his resurrection? Good stuff. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. 19. We have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil, whither the foreigner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Life or death? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Hebrews 7:3 says, is like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. His priesthood is how he offered. He didn't offer before he became a priest. And he did not bring an animal to offer. He offered himself. Are you getting this? That is why his sacrifices were better. They were spiritual. Hallelujah. Do you get it? He did not offer an animal. He did not carry blood. He offered himself. And what is his life? Blood or his spirit? Are you with me? God does not demand death. He wants life. Hallelujah. He does not use death. He uses life. We are sanctified by life. Amen. We are justified by life. You will see it soon. You should have been seeing his effort. Verse 6 is after the power of what? So verse 16. After the power of an endless life. The priesthood of Jesus is in his eternal life. His offering. You know, his priesthood, you can't be a priest when you're not offering anything. Right? So, when he offered gifts and sacrifices, those guys who offered gifts and sacrifices under Levi, they offered animals that they would kill. The law of sin and death. When he would offer, he did not do it in the earth. Hebrews 5. He did it in the spirit. He offered what? Himself. Dead or alive? Dead or alive? Thank you. Are you with me? Good. Let's move further. So it's after the order of an endless life. That's why he said he forever lives to make. He forever lives. He says those priests, their ministry stopped because they died. And they were offering dead works, dead animals, blood, physical things. He said, which can never take away sin. What will take away sin is the offering of the life of Jesus. It's in his life that sins are remitted eternally. We'll see that. Hallelujah. All right, see. Hebrews 5:5. So Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto him, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. His high priesthood is his resurrection. Verse 6. He said, also in another place, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Glory to God. Amen. Hebrews 7:24-23 says, and truly, there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by the reason of death. But this man, hey, because what? Had an unchangeable priesthood. Glory to God. Unchangeable priesthood.
Watch this. Let's read it together. Wherefore, is able also to save them to the uttermost by him, seeing that he ever what? To make intercession for them. Such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the king. Hallelujah. Who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for their sins, and then for the people. For he did what? When he did what? What did he offer? His blood or himself? What is himself? His blood or his life? What is his life? It's basic now. Hallelujah. Are you there? Glory to God. We have to absorb God. Amen. There is no darkness in him. Are you there? It's not one. Hebrews 9:14. It's very simple. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, simple now, the blood of Christ, through what? So where do you find the blood of Christ? Amen. Through the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How are we purged? By blood or by the Spirit? Does it make sense? For which cause is the middle of the New Testament that by the means of death, for what? What was the death? Redemption. Who takes redemption? The slave owner. Who was the slave owner? Hebrews 2:14. That he might destroy him that had. So who had the power of death? Who did that ransom? Not God. He paid the price to be released. For a release. A price for slaves. That. So there's redemption of the triad of the first testament, that they which are called might now receive what? Huh? Is redemption the inheritance? No. Hallelujah. Redemption is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you there? Redemption is the Spirit. Are you there? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He entered in once the holy place had been obtained. So his death is mentioned. His death is for redemption. To pay the price. Never forget, redemption means to pay a price for a slave under a slave owner. Never forget that. The reason why you won't find the devil being glorified is because the epistles focus more on the life of Jesus than his death. I've told you that before. That's why the writer of Hebrews just mentioned him briefly. He that had the power of death. So he expects that everywhere you read death, you are talking about the devil. It's very simple. You will be saying, and then the devil, and then the devil, in a book about Christ. But when you see death in Hebrews, you are talking about who? He that had the power of death. Are you there? So, how are we purified? So, we are bought back by his death. From who? Delivered from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Are you there? And we are now purified by what? His Spirit. Or you can say blood. You can stick to that. Amen? So when I say I'm washed by the blood, they say you are washed by the Spirit. You are cleansed by the Spirit. That's the indwelling of the Spirit. Quickly. So redemption is not from God. You are not redeemed from God. You are redeemed from the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he's not the enemy. Hallelujah. Are you there? Luke 21:28. A rush now. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Hallelujah. Romans 3:24.
You learning something? Whom God, being justified freely by his grace. Oh, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The price paid in Christ Jesus. 8:23. Hallelujah. 8:23. Even ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Why? Because the body is mortal. So the body will be released from what? Mortality. God is not mortality. In him is immortality. Hallelujah. Not mortality. Light and immortality is revealed in what? In the gospel. Not death. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Is made unto us what? Redemption. The price. Look at Ephesians 1, 7 and 14. We'll look at those words tomorrow. Ephesians 1, 7 and 14. We'll make a very, very subtle distinction. Ephesians 1, 7 and 14. In whom we have redemption. Hallelujah. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. We have redemption through his blood. We'll look at it. The same thing was written in Ephesians 1. So Ephesians 1 again 14. Redemption. 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 1:14. The earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Do you notice that? The use of redemption in Ephesians is about the body. 4:30. Release from the death potential of the physical body. You see that? Hebrews 11:35. I just gave you every text about redemption in the book, in the epistles. Hebrews 11:35. Hallelujah. This is a very clear text, and a lovely one. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That is the word redemption. That they might obtain a better resurrection. So, imagine if you change the word redemption to the deliverance. You can't say deliver from God. Because redemption actually means to pay the price and deliver a slave from the slave owner. Redemption sets free from bondage. And the person that takes the redemption is the slave owner. Hallelujah. 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 Hebrews 9. And then we close. Finally. Hebrews 9:16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. How can this be talking about the new covenant? The new covenant is established. It just told you it is after the power of an endless life. It told you the old covenant, by the means of that, it could not continue. So it can't be used. You can't use it to say the old covenant did not begin until Jesus died. It's when he died that the prophecies, we now use the prophecy, because he was not dead in the four gospels. How can you transfer the new covenant with death? No, it's after life. Hallelujah. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Is he talking about the new testament? No. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Right? Yeah? No? Look at this. So the old covenant was dedicated with the blood of dead animals. The new covenant upon the life of Jesus. That's why it's called a better sacrifice. Abby? Law of the Spirit of life in Christ
The old covenant is the law of sin and death. Good evening.